The task of perfecting our union moves forward.
Kick it!
We want our children to live in America that isn't burdened by debt, that isn't weakened by inequality.
The Joe Show.
That isn't threatened by the destructive power of a warming planet.
On AM 930, Progressive Talk, KBAI.
Well, happy Tuesday to you. It is Northwest Washington's only local live liberal progressive program here on the Progressive Voice of the Pacific Northwest. AM 930, Progressive Talk, KBAI. Thanks for joining us here today. Hope you make us a habit, noon to one each weekday. A little bit later, we'll have to talk a little bit about how, I don't know, whatever issue the right seems to latch onto and hang on to like a bulldog tends to just kind of fall apart, just like whatever a bulldog would have in its mouth, I guess. It just seems to just go to heck in a handbasket on them. But we start now. We've been watching events unfold here in the Pacific Northwest. We suspect, we'd hope that the FBI is watching closely, watching these dangerous people, the potential for unrest, civil unrest, potential for damage to our society, to the world as we know it. And yes, they are doing exactly that. They're watching environmentalists here in the Pacific Northwest while they seem to sit and twiddle their thumbs while right-wing gun-toting crazies occupy a national wildlife refuge down in Oregon. And joining me now is Max Wilbert. He is among activists who are part of Deep Green Resistance, and he's been contacted recently by the FBI, and it's not the first time. And Max, thanks for taking time to be with us here on the Joe Show today.
Good morning, Joe. Great to be here.
Great to have you. And we're friends on Facebook, and that's how I saw your post of a few days ago. And you said that was contacted by the FBI today. And tell us what happened.
Yeah, I sure was. It was this past Friday, and just got a call on my cell phone, an unknown number, or a number that wasn't one of my contacts. Which I don't, you know, like most people, I don't always pick those calls up, but I had the moment, so I picked it up, and right away it was answered by a man who introduced himself as an FBI agent, and so pretty promptly came out with who he was, and he asked if we could talk, and I said no, I haven't done anything wrong, but the lessons of activism and of social engagement, you know, have taught us over the years that the FBI often isn't on the side of justice, and they're often not on the side of right, or what history would look to as the right side. So, so our standard practice is if they ever want to talk to us, we're just going to say no, because they don't have our best interests at heart for the most part. And so I told him no, and he said he was hoping to get together and meet. And I said, that's not going to happen, and I'm going to hang up the phone now. So the call itself was pretty short, but what's more distressing is that this is part of an ongoing series of contacts by the FBI, and as far as we can tell, they're just aimed at political harassment and intimidation.
Yeah, or perhaps you're right. There's just the idea to get you in a comfortable situation. Come on, I'll buy you a cup of coffee. We'll sit down, we'll chat, and get you to kind of feel comfortable and open up about some things that might lead to self-incrimination down the road.
Right, right. Yeah, and there are a lot of, I know I'm friends with some lawyers who are activist lawyers who support, they support environmentalists and, people who have police brutality committed against them and things of that nature. And they say the same thing, basically. You know, it's best to say nothing. Even if you are involved in nothing, even if you're not guilty of anything, even if you've broken no laws, it's best to say nothing because they'll twist your words, And when they say anything, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you. They're not kidding. They'll twist your words. And that has happened to people in the past who thought they hadn't committed any crime or done anything wrong, and they were either framed or something of that nature and, ended up spending time in jail or who knows what.
Yeah, now I saw you post that this wasn't the first time that you personally have been contacted by the FBI. Are you in some sort of a position of leadership, or why do you think they would be calling you specifically?
Yeah, I've been involved in this group, Deep Green Resistance, for many years now, since the early days of it. And I'm a pretty public figure. I'm organizing actively on a few different campaigns, and I'm writing articles and doing interviews here and there. And so my name's definitely out there, and so it's no surprise to me. But, yeah, as you said, this wasn't the first time they contacted me personally. The first time was just over a year ago in December of 2014, and they called me in a similar incident. But more distressing than those two phone calls is the original pattern. Prior to that last call in December 2014, they contacted about 5 or 10 different members of this organization, and some of them with phone calls. They actually showed up at one member's parents' house, their residence.
Hmm.
They live on the other side of the country, and they showed up at their residence asking questions. They went to one member's workplace and made some sort of veiled threats about trying to get her fired and talking to her boss and basically getting her in trouble. And this is somebody who's a single mom with several kids who, you know, is working, you know, a not a great job, basically a temp job that, you know, she's struggling. She doesn't have any money, you know, she's a poor woman. And here you have the FBI coming and choosing to harass and intimidate her. And of course, that's no, you know, they see weakness and they go after it. They're looking for information. They're not necessarily interested in, you know, the best interest of everyday people. So.
Yeah, the intimidation tactics, it certainly sounds like.
Right. One member was even followed to his workplace. They came to his home. I spoke to him briefly at the front door and basically just said the same thing I said. I'm not going to speak with you. And they actually went back to the car. He was leaving to go to work. And they followed him in their car and drove all the way to his work. And then as he pulled into his parking lot, they honked at him a couple times and then drove off. So
wow.
Make of that what you will, but it's pretty obvious to me. I'm sure a lot of your listeners have seen this film Trumbo that just came out.
Mm-hmm.
There was an article written, I was interviewed for just the other day, that ran in Counterpunch, and it was making some comparisons between what happened to Dalton Trumbo, the blacklisting, the political intimidation, eventually getting thrown in prison, having all his communications monitored. And this was somebody who was expressing legitimate political dissent. And, you know, I think we're seeing a similar thing today. And I think we should be outraged about it. You know, supposedly we live in a democracy, even though, you know, of course, it's a representative republic is actually what we live in. And if you believe, if you look a little more deeply, it's probably more like an oligarchy. But supposedly we live in a democracy where we control the government and we're in charge. But the reality is that these intelligence agencies, the FBI, the NSA, obviously has been huge in the news the last couple of years, are overreaching their mandates and you know, snooping on everything that everyday people are doing all the time, and you know, going out of the way and hassling people of color and, you know, all this racial profiling that's going on and violence against poor mm-hmm. people of color, especially black communities and native folks. You know, a lot of Latino people, a lot of communities are experiencing direct violence at the hands of the state. So I think this is in some ways an extension of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's for many of us who don't experience this kind of thing, I mean, it's eye opening and it's shocking. But we're talking with Max Wilbert. He's with Deep Green Resistance here in Western Washington, and got a phone call from the FBI just this past Friday. Just wanted to sit down and talk. And I guess, tell us about Deep Green Resistance and why the FBI might be interested in what you're up to, I guess, is what they are after information about. But tell us about Deep Green Resistance and what your philosophy is.
Sure. Well, we're admittedly a pretty radical group. We don't try and hide what we believe. We're not trying to skulk about in the shadows and, you know, do clandestine stuff, but we're totally open and honest about what we believe, which is basically we believe that we look at the modern environmental movement and then we look at the indicators of the health of the planet. So whether that's climate change or species extinctions or the amount of toxins, all these different indicators of ecological health are headed in the wrong direction, despite all the great work that's been done over the last, you know, 60 years of modern environmental movement, I guess. Things aren't getting better. They're getting worse, in fact. And so we look at these problems and we basically say more is needed. Obviously, what we've been doing so far hasn't been enough to this point. And so, you know, like I said, we're a pretty radical group. And one of the things that we talk about, which is probably why the FBI keeps an eye on us, is we support eco-sabotage. And we're willing to, you know, go on the record in public and say that and give speeches and give interviews and say that. And now, just to be clear, we're not doing that ourselves because it would be pretty stupid to go on the radio and talk about it and then, you know,
commit
actually
the,
go and do it myself.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But not many people are willing to say that sort of thing in public. And we think it's, you know, we really deeply care about the planet and the other species who we share this world with. And, you know, the salmon and the forest and the grasslands and the wetlands and the incredible, beautiful biodiversity of life that we live with. We believe these other forms of life must be treasured. And, you know, I think I'm for whatever is going to be effective. So if it's going to be effective to pass a law, then I think we should do that. If it's going to be effective to have a protest, then we should do that. And if it's going to be effective to do nonviolent civil disobedience, then let's do that. And also, I think if it's going to be effective to do eco-sabotage, then we should do that. So it's understandable why they're keeping an eye on us, given our politics, but that doesn't make it any less outrageous that they're harassing us, knowing that we're not actually doing these things ourselves. We're expressing our legitimate opinions, and it's completely legal for us to be doing that.
Yeah, and pointing out the hypocrisy when there are corporations or these other entities that are actively destroying the planet, destroying the environment, and not paying the consequences for it, you know, just, you know, clear cutting and, I mean, you name it, whatever kind of activity that they might be undertaking, and largely, by and large, for profit. And so they're doing this stuff and then not paying for the damage that they're doing. They're not reclaiming the earth in whether it's mining or anything else, you know, fish farming out in our Puget Sound waters and the, right. The terrible environmental destruction that occurs from these activities and, just basically hanging the bill for that, the destruction on the planet and ultimately on the rest of us, then there is a crime that's actively being committed, whether the establishment wants to admit that or not.
Right. Absolutely. And I think one of the most telling quotes I've ever heard was from James Madison, who was one of the original founding fathers, as they called him. And he said during one of the closed meetings about in the early framing of the Constitution, he said, I'm paraphrasing, but it's something like the task of the government or the role of the government is to protect the opulent against the majority of the population. And so, you know, the people who founded this country were pretty clear on what their goal was. It was to extract as much profit and power as they could from this land that they stole from the native people and basically do it at any cost. And, you know, when most people say, oh, the Constitution is so great, what they're really talking about is the Bill of Rights, which was forced through later because people rose up and essentially almost engaged in a revolution early on in the days of the U.S., and they drove through this Bill of Rights, which has some really good stuff in it, although it also has some not-so-great stuff in it. But, you know, I think what we're seeing today with the destruction of the planet is really a continuation of what we've been seeing for hundreds of years. And so that's something that, you know, that I and people in my group try and speak out about and talk about and raise awareness of is that, you know, this this fight isn't new. It's the same fight that's been going on for hundreds of years, if not longer, and it's essentially the fight against empire, the fight against centralized power that wants to go out and do whatever it wants and exploit the world. And, you know, if they destroy the planet and they impoverish and enslave and kill a bunch of people in the process, then they're not really too concerned about that usually. So, you know, in the modern world, empire has gotten a little bit more friendly looking, friendly seeming, I think. But, you know, if you start to dig deeper, I mean, you know, look at the tag on the clothes you're wearing right now. I mean, chances are it was made in a sweatshop. That's an extension of slavery, so, and that's how our modern life is supported.
Mm-hmm. How would you compare Deep Green Resistance to, say, ELF or organizations like that? Are you different from them and their philosophy, I guess?
Yeah, we're a little bit different just in that ELF, or Earth Liberation Front, is actually a group that does underground action, and they're sort of an umbrella group. So as far as I understand it, I don't, you know, obviously nobody knows everything about them.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as I understand it, anybody could theoretically do some sort of sabotage and then claim it as being an ELF action. So there's not necessarily like a defined group. Whereas Deep Green Resistance, for one, you know, the biggest difference is we're not going to be actually doing those type of actions ourselves. We do above ground, nonviolent civil disobedience, you know, that type of direct action. We do engage in that type of work, but we're not going to be doing the highly illegal underground stuff. You know, we're pretty open about our dissent, like I said. So that's the main difference. And we also are, you know, we're organized. So we have a code of conduct and a statement of principles, and whoever joins our organization has to go through a brief little interview process and agree to those. And so we have this sort of shared unity, and we're actually organizing pretty openly with each other to coordinate our activities and such. So,
okay.
Like I said, we're not really trying to hide who we are or what we believe. We're actually trying to be as public as possible to make this a public discourse, to have a conversation about this, because I understand that a lot of people aren't going to agree with eco-sabotage, and that's fine. A lot of close friends and family members don't agree with me on it, but what I'm more concerned about is, does somebody truly care about the planet, about oppression, about these different issues? If they do, then that's a pretty good shared foundation for me, and I think we can have a good conversation about strategy from that point. What's going to be most effective? How do we win? That's a conversation I love. But I think that's the starting point.
All right. If people want to, you know, find out more or might want to become aligned with the Deep Green Resistance, how, can they contact you, or how should they do that?
Sure, yeah. Personally, my website is just maxwilbert, WILBERT.org, and there's a contact form on there if you want to get in touch with me. And Deep Green Resistance, if you just Google search that, or the website is deepgreenresistance.org. We're on some social media. We have chapters around the world, and we're doing some organizing, some fun stuff. I'm involved right now in a campaign in the Intermountain West, mostly in Nevada, Utah, Eastern California. And we're fighting to protect pinyon pine and juniper forests that are being destroyed on a huge scale by the BLM, Bureau of Land Management. And they're basically calling it restoration, but the scientific basis for that isn't there.
Hmm.
So it's essentially another subsidy to ranchers. I'm sure you've been talking about the Bundy folks a lot lately, and
exactly.
Subsidies to ranchers. This is another subsidy to them, basically, and it's a way to say that we're doing this great restoration work, and we're protecting the planet, and we're restoring habitat for endangered species. And the reality of it is none of that is true. And they're talking about they've already destroyed a lot of forest there, and they're talking about destroying about 7 million acres of forest, which is an area the size of Vermont. And, you know, most people don't realize that this region has beautiful, gorgeous, biodiverse, ancient forests. People think of Nevada as this empty desert, but there's some amazing stuff there, and it's under threat. So that's one of the campaigns I'm working on right now.
Yeah, yeah. And yet the Bundys and their ilk say that we're not giving them enough. And when they are the ones who are doing the taking and want to be able to use these, you know, literally, you know, hundreds of thousands, not millions of acres of public lands for just to exploit for their own gain. Once again, it's back to the profit motive and exploiting our lands and ultimately destroying them for just their own personal profit. And well, you folks are doing really good things. Max, I appreciate you coming on with me today and talking about this and getting the word out about Deep Green Resistance and some of the harassment that you folks are putting up with that, and you know, but keeping on with in spite of that.
Thanks for having me on, though. It's been great.
Yeah, you bet. And keep after it. You know, and like, I think you're doing well, you know, just, say nothing when the FBI calls you. At least they do identify themselves, so you don't think you're talking to somebody who's friendly.
Yeah, we'll be careful. Thanks.
All right. Well, take care. Once again, Max Wilbert. Yeah, take care. We'll talk again soon.
Okay. Thanks, Joe. Bye.
You bet. Max Wilbert again with Deep Green Resistance. Find out more at deepgreenresistance.org. And we'll take a quick break. Be back with more here on The Joe Show. Our phone number, 360-734-5697. Back at the Joe Show here on AM 930 Progressive Talk. Our phone number 360-734-5697. It's kind of galling, this FBI keeping such close tabs on environmentalists and those working to save our planet, and yet seeming to just stand back and allow the Bundy people. I don't know if it's because they have guns. I call them Bundy people because a couple of leaders are Bundys, but there are a bunch of other yahoos who are part of that bunch who has taken over the Malura Wildlife Refuge there in Southeast Oregon. But those are the people who are doing real damage to, well, to our country, ultimately, to the cohesiveness of our nation. It's not environmentalists who are working to save the planet as best they can, and especially folks like Deep Green Resistance who, and I think they're right. They, if you look at, like Max said, you know, great things that have been done. We've made progress, but at the same time, things have gotten worse. So they haven't gotten as bad. You know, they've gotten worse at a slower pace than they would have if nothing had been done. If we had not, you know, created an environmental protection agency, if we had not put in place rules like the Clean Water, Clean Air Acts and Endangered Species Act and some of these laws that are constantly under attack, and just the idea that they would be under government surveillance because they advocate for preserving these things by whatever means, and the idea that they would be under surveillance for instance, just saying, you know, whatever you feel you need to do to protect the environment, go do it. When what do we hear from the right? We hear constant threats. We have Ted Nugent, you know, for goodness sake. How much more of a public figure do you need than that, who is out there advocating for, literally, for the assassination of the president and other public figures because he disagrees with them politically? We have, you know, what is G. Gordon Liddy? What was it back during the Clinton era, if you recall? G. Gordon Liddy, you know, somebody on the right, Tom DeLay. Today we're hearing from Tom DeLay, who says that the FBI is ready to indict Hillary Clinton without stopping to realize that. And this is a guy who should be familiar with indictments, as he's had a number of them made against him, and he's been convicted of crimes that, for whatever technicality, were then tossed. But this is a guy who should understand the prosecutorial process, but the FBI can't indict anybody. The FBI collects evidence that it hands over to a prosecutor who then decides, or a grand jury that then decides whether or not to actually bring indictments. But here's the guy. He's a Washington Times radio show host, Tom DeLay, who's more washed up than Tom DeLay. But G. Gordon Liddy, you know, break into the Democratic National Committee and, you know, create the greatest political scandal ever in the United States of America. And, You're a hero now. Here's your radio show. You know, Ollie North, You know, sell, you know, go ahead and sell out our country. Sell, you know, swap weapons with Iran to appease terrorists. So they'll, you know, swap weapons, you know, money, sell weapons so you can supply terrorists. And then maybe we'll get some of our hostages back, from terrorists there in the Middle East. And, you know, but give him a radio show. He's a hero. That's how it always seems to work. But here yet, I mentioned G. Gordon Liddy, you know, he was saying back in the 1990s, if you remember, around the time of Ruby Ridge and Waco, that when in essence, I'm paraphrasing, but when the federal agents come to your door, aim for the head. He was saying these types of things, advocating for the assassination of federal agents. And these are the people who are out there actively preaching for the destruction of our country, for against the cohesion of our country. And who is the FBI keeping an eye on? Environmentalists. It's an outrage. It's an absolute outrage. Quick break. We'll be back with more here as we continue on the Joe Show. We'd love to hear from you. 360-734-5697 here at AM 930 Progressive Talk. Back on the Joe Show here on AM 930, Progressive Talk, KBAI. Thanks for joining us here on this Tuesday. Abe Vigoda has passed away. What is he, 94, they said? And it's been, I don't know how many times it's been a spoof on social media that Abe Vigoda has passed away, but that's too bad. Remember him from Barney Miller and even more so from the first Godfather movie. But talking about a number of issues, had Max Wilbert of Deep Green Resistance on earlier, an organization that sees what's happening to our planet and sees the environmental efforts that are being made by government and other groups as being too little too late, and saying we've got to go beyond this and advocating at least or supporting some rather radical efforts. But, I mean, we are at a point where... I mean, what do we do? Do we just sit back and say, okay, throw up our hands, there's nothing that more that can be done? Or, you know, do we take matters more into our own hands or take things further? I'm not one to advocate violence in any way, shape, or form, and I wouldn't take part in it myself, but it is concerning. I mean, it's a conundrum. It's a question that swirls around in my mind often, is what can be done. The powers that be are so powerful that, there are areas where we're seeing victories, we're seeing little victories. And one of those is in the push to save Planned Parenthood and to support Planned Parenthood, and some incredible news. I saw this on Facebook last night when I was just kind of mellowing out for the evening and flipped around on my phone and saw that. And at first I thought, now, is this for real? Or is this kind of just a fantasy wannabe thing from some leftist website? But I saw where that two of the activists involved in those undercover videos that were made of Planned Parenthood that supposedly, well, boy, if you talk to Carly Fiorina, they showed, literally infanticide happening. That supposedly showed that these Planned Parenthood officials negotiating for the sale for profit of baby parts, which on the face of it is ridiculous. You know, by and large, the tissue that is taken in an abortion procedure is not a baby. There's not a baby, a fully formed baby that comes out and then the parts are dissected and shipped around. I mean, it sounds awful, but it is, that's not true. That's not what happens. Well, investigation after investigation after investigation were launched following this news, because obviously there are these right-wing politicians that wanted to make a lot of hay from this. And there were investigations launched in so many states, you'd think that, golly, one of them would, you know, crack through and, you know, find some hard-hitting evidence that would, you know, really show the world how awful and how unlawful this organization, Planned Parenthood, really is. Well, lo and behold, we come to a map that finds states that did launch investigations. And real quick, I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. It's about 18. Something like that. I don't know how accurate. I was counting quickly and on the air here. So, but I about 18 states that launched investigations. Well, out of those, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 couldn't find enough evidence to go forward. I mean, they started looking into this, looking into the practices of Planned Parenthood. And then some of these were, I mean, California, a liberal state, Colorado, a purple state by and large, conservative state, Idaho, Iowa, Minnesota, kind of a blue state, really, Virginia, you know, more or less yeah, that's Virginia. Yeah, it's Virginia. I'm just making sure I'm getting my geography right. Yeah, more or less. It's kind of a balancing act, you know. They'll elect a Democratic governor and they lean conservative. But let's see, who else did here? Is that that's Delaware, Joe Biden's state, and Vermont. They all launched these investigations, found nothing to hang their investigative hat on. So they said, oh, nah, we're not even going any further. And then other states that said, hey, we're going forward this. We're going forward with this. We're going full on. But they didn't find any wrongdoing by Planned Parenthood. Those states include, let's see, Rhode Island. I'm doing pretty good here. Rhode Island, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, South Dakota, Missouri, and Kansas. Oh, and then down south, Georgia and Florida, and now Texas, because this grand jury down in Texas found that, nope, Planned Parenthood didn't do anything wrong, but you know who did? This Delayden guy and this other woman who was working with him. What did they do wrong? Well, they forged official documents. They forged California driver's licenses to claim they were someone who they were not. That's a felony that they are charged with or they are indicted on by this grand jury. This is not, as I heard right-wing pundits try to claim, a rogue prosecutor who made this happen, who orchestrated this all. And this was a grand jury that decided these laws were broken and these people should be prosecuted for this. They brought forged documents, and this is a felony. I mean, you can imagine if I tried to forge a enhanced driver's license from the state of Washington so I could board an airline. You know, I'd probably get the book thrown at me. But that's in essence what these people did. Then they also were trying to negotiate for the purchase of fetal tissue, which is also apparently against the law down in Texas. Planned Parenthood refused them because this Delayden guy came and made an offer of $1,600 or something for like this tissue because he was hoping to ensnare Planned Parenthood in this plot to evilly profit from the sale of fetal tissue from abortions. Well, it didn't quite turn out that way because Planned Parenthood ignored their requests, and yet the grand jury did not ignore the fact that this guy brought the offer to illegally buy this tissue. Planned Parenthood can supply the tissue and simply be reimbursed, which is maintained from the very beginning from this, since the very first of these videos were sent out there and surfaced, that we simply accept compensation for the costs incurred in producing this tissue. Nothing more. And now I think Planned Parenthood has even stopped accepting payment for that. But the grand jury down in Texas said Planned Parenthood was doing the right thing. These people trying to ensnare, trying to entrap Planned Parenthood were doing the wrong things, at least in a couple of instances. Quick break, back with more here on The Joe Show as we continue on this Tuesday. Our phone number, 360-734-5697. Back on the Joe Show here on AM 930, Progressive Talk. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday. I'm talking about a number of issues, and earlier talking about deep green resistance and how they're being harassed by the FBI. I mean, members being called out of the blue and others being followed, being confronted at their workplace and told they may lose their job because of their affiliation with an organization like that that has the gall to fight for the preservation of our environment, of our planet. Well, here on this day that we're talking about this, this was just announced earlier today. You've likely heard of the Doomsday Clock, and this has been in place for some time. A clock that, that's a metaphorical clock, obviously, that, a group of scientists has assembled. And it indicates how close we are to Armageddon, to the end of the world as we know it, in essence. And during the Cold War, of course, it was ticking rather quickly. January 2015, this was just a year ago, the clock moved from 5 minutes to midnight to 3 minutes to midnight. We're still a tick away from Iron Maiden's 2 minutes to midnight. But we're getting ever closer. Now, today, these scientists announced that they're keeping it right there at 3 minutes to midnight. No turning back the clock. I mean, we're closer than we were since the end of the Cold War, when we used to contemplate the possibility of thermonuclear war. I mean, I did when I was a young person and thought about what would it really, you know, I mean, holy schmoly. I guess we wouldn't have had to worry about it too long because we would have all been cinders after just a matter of minutes if attacks were launched. But just the idea that we as human beings could destroy ourselves and pretty much everything on the planet, leave the cockroaches and the rats. But that the clock, the doomsday clock now, being left at 3 minutes to midnight. Why? Because of a number of factors. One, tensions between the U.S. and Russia, or Russia and the West, reminiscent of the Cold War, and that the sides are unlikely to talk about future arms control measures. Of course, we've reined in our nuclear weapons. Russian nuclear weapons are reined in quite a bit from the days of the Soviet Union. Ours, not so much, but the scientists also note that while we got this controversial deal to prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon, North Korea tested a nuclear weapon of its own earlier this month. And many other countries are increasing their nuclear weapons arsenals. Another issue that is worrying these scientists, and I would say one that's more of a direct threat, is climate change. I mean, what we're doing to the planet, the effect we're having, it is catastrophic for many. And it's going to only get worse if we don't do something about it. And that this is hanging over our heads, and yet we refuse to make any big changes. And even little changes are fought against tooth and nail. In the interest, once again, of these profit-driven corporations and their investors, And this is the mindset that is killing us. It's killing the planet. And it's one that we have to change ultimately. I don't know how we'll go about doing that, because greed is an incredibly powerful emotion, an incredibly powerful pull. I don't know how we'll ever change that overall mindset that I've got to have more and more and more. I'll never be comfortable. I can never rest until I have more and more and more and more. It's like a human, I don't know, it's this human drive toward, ultimately toward self-destruction. I mean, you know, you look at a drug addict, and that's what they're drawn to, more and more and more. Okay, that high was good. I need to get higher. All right, now I've done that. Now I need more. I can't stop there. I got to have more until they hit the end game, which is the ultimate destruction of the body. And we're doing that as a society. Quick break, back with one last cup of Joe here on AM 930 Progressive Talk.
And now it's time for one last cup of Joe on The Joe Show on AM 930 Progressive Talk.
Well, the news is coming hot and heavy today. Cleveland now has fired six police officers that were involved in that shooting. If you recall, two unarmed people, a couple. They led police on a high-speed chase. At the end of it, the officers unleashed a 137-shot barrage that left two unarmed people dead. Two unarmed people killed by 137 shots. Fired. That leaves me speechless. That officers, police officers that are supposedly trained in the use of deadly force would somehow feel that they needed to unleash a barrage like that at two people who were unarmed. Obviously, they weren't firing back. But you know, once again, we see what happens to police officers. We had the guy down in, also in the East that, had gunned down, I think it was in Georgia, who gunned down the, mentally disturbed, naked, unarmed black veteran. He has, resigned after being charged, but, you know, we see these cops constantly losing their jobs, but ne'er a conviction in sight. Hope you have a great rest of your Tuesday. We're back tomorrow, same time, same station. Till then, good day, Northwest Washington, wherever you are.